News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Middle of January, going to get to the mid-60s for a high today. A lot of sunshine.
Looking good.
You're looking for some good news in this tumultuous January. There it is. It's our weather.
Yeah, especially if you're waiting outside the Daphne Civic Center for the vaccination today. Well, even if you have a wait, at least it's good weather outside, right?
It is good weather. We've got 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. We were talking about in Vancouver, B.C., a lady gave a Yelp review to the jail.
Mm-hmm.
4.5 stars. Dave is from Foley, and he wanted to talk about that. Dave?
I'm wondering if they're going to replace the booking desk with a concierge desk.
Welcome to the jail.
Yeah.
May we get you an Uber to the back of the yard? Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, y'all have a great day.
You got it, buddy.
Thanks.
Good stuff from Dave there.
Let's
see what Quinn has for us today. As we, it is a Tuesday, so we talk with Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com, author of the Mad Jones trilogy, available at Amazon right now. Of course, you can catch his writings at Washington Examiner and his very own special website, quinnhillier.com. Thanks for joining us again this morning, Quinn.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing good. What floats your boat today, Quinn?
Boy, what would really float my boat this week is if we get through tomorrow's inaugural without anything crazy, without any violence, without people losing their minds. This is the United States of America, for goodness sakes. We do peaceful transitions here.
Yeah, what's your thought about everything that's going on? I mean, it's been a good week and a half that all the news almost out of D.C. regarding the inauguration doesn't have so much to do with what's actually going to take place during the inauguration, but the security presence around D.C. They're calling it a bubble now, and we've got over 25,000 National Guard members there. I had a story earlier that at least 750 active duty military are on site now, and then you have Secret Service. I mean, the list goes on and on. What do you make of all this? This is an inauguration unlike any other.
It is an inauguration unlike any other. Well, heck, even Lincoln's second inaugural, with all the craziness going on, he spoke in front of throngs and throngs of people. So you're right. This is like nothing we've ever seen. It's very unfortunate. I'm not sure whether it's good or bad for Biden. I mean, clearly he doesn't get the attention and the, you know, sort of positive good feelings that an incoming president usually gets because, you know, nobody's paying attention to him, really. On the other hand, it might mean that he gets to just sort of do what he wants without people paying as much attention and without conservatives having a chance to really focus on the stuff that he's doing that conservatives don't like. But they're not focused on that. They're running around yelling that the election was stolen, and so they're not really able to fight him. They're not really able to say, this is what we don't like, and therefore let's use the means of democracy to try to defeat it. So maybe it makes them easier to just sneak in a lot of liberal stuff. I don't know.
So what is your take on Ben Sasse? He wrote an op-ed on Sunday talking about QAnon just destroying the GOP from within. Have you ever seen anything like this, and is there some truth to a statement like that?
I think he's right in terms of a warning. I did not actually read his piece, which is amazing because I'm a huge Ben Sasse fan, but I missed that one. I just saw that he had written it. I don't think he's saying that it has destroyed. I think he said it is destroying. And,
true, yes.
And that it, and that if it doesn't stop, it will destroy. And so it was more of a warning, and I think he's absolutely right. QAnon is nuts. It's malicious, it's false, and the more it holds sway, the less reality based the Republican Party or the conservative movement is. You know, it's still relatively fringe, But heck, they've got at least one and probably two congresswomen, freshman congresswomen, women who are basically representing QAnon. That's a foot in the door. That's as bad on our side as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar on the left.
Yeah, what's the score sheet now? Are there more QAnon members in Congress than libertarians?
Well, then open libertarians. I don't know. I mean, depends on whether you call Rand Paul a libertarian or a Republican. I mean, he's a small L libertarian. You've got the new guy that replaced Justin Amash, who is also a small L libertarian. I think if you're talking small L, not party libertarian, there's still probably more libertarians than QAnon. But having even two QAnon folks is pretty bad.
You know, after that January 6th sieging of the, or at least breaching of the Capitol building, siege is maybe a strong word for that, but after that happened, it seemed, at least from the outside, that all the members of Congress were united in, I don't know if fear is the right word, united in their fear,
that'd be a good word.
United in their disgust of what happened, but the tables turned very quickly, and now report after report of basically the Democrats lumping all Republicans, all Trump supporters in with the faction of QAnon and with the truly most hardcore that stormed the Capitol that day. And even from within, you have Democrats that are saying Republican representatives like were leading a lot of these rioters through the Capitol and basically a spec ops mission or something like that. And then you have this Democratic representative out of Tennessee, Cohen, who said that National Guard members who are Trump supporters cannot be trusted, and he feels that they'll do something to Biden. The Democrats are really seizing on this right now is kind of the point that I'm trying to make. Do you feel the same way?
They're not just seizing, they are overreacting, and they are going, A, it's not fair what they're saying, and B, they're going to end up making idiots of themselves and getting and losing whatever goodwill they have created. Look, I am not one of those who thinks that the election was stolen, but a lot of patriotic Americans supported Donald Trump, and they're not crazy, and they're not evil, they're not malicious, and some of them went up there and were at the rally without attacking the Capitol. They're not bad people. I mean, we had our own Pete Ream was up there, and look, he had every right to be there, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing fair about lumping in all Trump supporters, lumping in the very smart, intelligent, patriotic Pete Reams of the world with the crazies. It's not fair, it's not right, and I will stand up against it all day long.
Interesting. Also, I want to get your perspective on the events of January 6th from somebody who has lived in Washington and has a lot of contacts up there. We'll hit on that in a few other points in the next segment, if you will. Quinn, okay?
Sure.
Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com, The Washington Examiner.
And we're coming right back. More on Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Norwig.
Quinn Hillier from quinnhillier.com, The Washington Examiner, our guest, as he is on every Tuesday on FM Talk 106.5. We'll get to some of the local stuff, Dalton, I know you wanted to get to here in just a moment. Quickly, just kind of a post-game, you know, 12 days later, whatever it is, of what happened Wednesday, January 6th. Yeah. In any event, you know, you have friends in Washington. You have friends in that building. The more video we see, you know, and I'm not being a dead horse, but my goodness, what we saw and what they must have felt and probably are going to take with them the rest of their life.
It's horrifying. I worked in that building. My boss is chairman of the Appropriations Committee, which is right, literally right across the hall, four steps from one of the entrances to the House chamber. It's absolutely horrifying that first of all, just any attack on that building, which is the, even more than the White House, is the civic sacred building that we have, the most civically sacred building But for the people in there, I mean, say what you want about politicians, their staffers. There are people who are working incredibly long hours for not enough pay, and they are there because most of them are idealistic, trying to serve their country, and they were under assault, and they could have really gotten hurt. Mike Pence was seconds away from the mob when he and his family got whisked away. Mike Pence was really in danger, and it's just inexcusable, and especially, you know, I'm a big Mike Pence fan. Just think of the horror if they had actually captured and done something to the vice president.
Yeah, that would have been awful, and it was an awful thing that happened. I'll repeat again, I wish that these politicians would have shown at least a similar level of empathy when this was happening to Americans' homes and businesses over the summer as well. But a lot of them continued to call for those riots to continue. And when it came to their doorstep, then it really got real for them.
Well, yeah, and look, the shoe is on the other foot. The hypocrisy among the left is horrendous. I mean, Nancy Pelosi literally said, well, you know, things happen. Stores get, you know, vandalism happened, she said. Kamala Harris basically called for the riots to continue. She certainly, while Minneapolis was burning, she did an interview where she said the protests are great and they're going to continue right through the election, on and on and on. They saw nothing wrong with what happened in the summer. Riots, vandalism, looting, arson, and they have no, the left, the ones that did that. I'm not going to say they have no right to complain, because bad is bad is bad. But you know, maybe they should, you know, try a little consistency.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Amen.
I agree completely, Quinn. Text here from Paul. We're going to see a lot of demonizing the next 2 years. Trump supporters will replace Trump in the media's crosshairs. Do you feel that could come to fruition?
It could come to fruition, and it's not fair. I mean, there are some Trump supporters, if they're QAnon types, if they're particularly obnoxious, just like supporters of anybody else, that earn some demonization. But Trump supporters in general, will they be demonized by the media? Yes. Is it fair? No. In fact, it's sickening. It is appalling. These are good, honest, loyal, patriotic Americans, and to try to turn them all into some fringe element, I mean, even as a non-Trump fan, I will fight against that effort. I will be blasting the media again and again when they do that.
All right, let's bring it back home here. You wrote in an email to us why one more term is important for Mayor Sandy Stimson. Explain, Quinn.
Well, what I was saying is we have three announcements that'll probably be coming soon. Will Sandy Stimson run for re-election? Which is this year, by the way. Richard Shelby is expected to announce this month whether he's going to run for re-election in 2022. And people also want to know whether Kay Ivey is going to run for re-election. Those are three big decisions. The biggest, soonest one is Sandy Stimson, who has not announced. And you know, here's one person hoping that he does run one more time. I think he's done a marvelous job. He's gotten the budget under control. He's been cleaning up blighted properties. He's advanced the Berkeley airfield. So now we're really moving towards having more commercial flights out of there. He's finally been able to get that property on Mobile Bay for the city. I mean, I could go on and on and on about the ways that he and his administration have made the city better, and I'm hoping that he gives it one more time, because there's some stuff he needs to consolidate sometimes new stuff, you can't just throw it in there. You've got to have it managed for a few years so it really takes root, and I think one more term would do that for him.
I'm also a fan of his temperament, Quinn, just the way he handles himself. There's something
he's
to be said for that.
He's a prince of a guy. Yeah. He is an absolute prince of a guy. He really cares about everybody. He's generous of spirit to everybody he comes in touch with. He really does want to unite people, and he's a gentleman in the best sense of the word. And again, I'm hoping he says yes. And this has nothing to do with who the other candidates are or might be. This is just a comment on the job that Sandy Stimson has done, is doing, and I hope will continue to
Understood.
Do.
Well, you mentioned some of the things that have come to Mobile, but let's talk about the state and the role that Senator Shelby has played in some of the things that have come to Alabama, being the head of the Senate Appropriations Committee. Now that the Senate is split 50-50 in that tiebreaker vote going to the vice president, what does that mean for Shelby's future on the Appropriations Committee? And in turn, what does that mean for his future as a senator? What are you seeing here?
Well, it means he's no longer going to be chairman of the Appropriations Committee. He will be the ranking minority member, and the difference in power there is immense. And look, as your chairman, you can behind the scenes muscle through all kinds of things that you can't do as ranking member. As ranking member, you're still the most powerful Republican on the committee, but you do not control things. You do not control the committee agenda. You do not have the great big committee office. You do not have the great big staff, and you do not have the power. And look, the man's going to be 88 in 2022 when he's up for re-election again. I'm expecting him to step down. He's done a lot for Alabama, but I can't imagine him wanting to run for re-election, not knowing whether he has a chance to become chairman again, because it's really hard to go from being chairman to losing that power overnight.
All right. Quinn, and we won't get into this now, but if he steps away, what an interesting cluster that's going to be as far as Republicans trying to win that primary.
Well, the key thing is, if he steps away, what does Kay Ivey do? If they both step away, you've got two huge races.
Yep.
If only one of them does, then everybody that's ambitious is going to run for Shelby's seat.
Right.
Whereas if they both do, then you've got half of the ambitious people going for one and half of the ambitious people going for the other. But my goodness, if it's only Shelby that steps down out of the two of them, you know, you could have 10 or 11...
Yep.
Big-name Republicans, plus a couple of Democrats. It's going to be a doozy.
Quinn, thanks a lot. QuinnHillier.com, also the Washington Examiner. You can find his work there.
Yeah, don't forget Matt Jones Trilogy on Amazon, and enjoy talking with Quinn every week. Now it's time to turn up your voice, 343-0106. Give us a call. Thank you, Kane. 836 FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Let's talk with Louie Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing well. Why don't you tell me what vehicles right now are the most sought after at the McConnell lot?
Pickup trucks.
Pickup trucks.
Pickup trucks. Yeah, it's trucks are moving, let me tell you. We've got some great deals on some used pickup trucks. We've got plenty of those in stock. You can check all those out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. We don't have pictures there. Give Gene or I a call at 251-476-4141. We'll send you a little video of what you're looking at. We'll have those pictures up as soon as possible. Also, we got that new car side. Don't forget about great deals on pickup trucks there. You got $6,000 on the hood on pickup trucks now. I'm sitting here looking at a brand new XL, just got in, white in color. Anybody wants one of those, we got those. Got plenty of Acadias and Enclaves. And you can buy the Encores now for right under $20,000. So we got deals going on everywhere. So just, you know, give us a call or stop by and let us know.
All right. Fantastic selection. We appreciate it, Louie.
All right. Thanks.
as Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
837, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, Mobile Mornings is the name of the show on FM Talk 106.5. Love to go to your calls here in just a bit as we kind of let you know where we're going here this next 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, and we're wide open here. There's plenty of things to talk about as we head towards the inauguration tomorrow. President Trump giving out pardons. Will he pardon himself? And who are some of the more interesting people he's expected to pardon? We could talk about that here in just a little bit.
We were just talking about that.
Yeah, and have you seen this? The president has he's kind of ordered this National Garden of American Heroes. It's an executive order where I think out by Mount Rushmore, if I'm correct, I'll have to pull the story again, but some Alabamians that are heroes expected to have statues built in their honor. That's an executive order from President Trump. So we can get into that. And also Hillary Clinton talking about Putin may have been involved in the riot in the Capitol on January the 6th.
Saw the headline, did not read the story.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that too. But first, let's go to the most important thing on the show, and that's the phone lines, 251-343-0106, turning up your voice. And let's start with Pete over in Baldwin County. Hey, Pete, good morning.
Hey, guys, I really enjoyed the show.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I wanted to make a comment, first of all, about your discussion you had yesterday about the demise of Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the real turning point was after the Kamala Harris and Pence debate. And I thought Pence ran circles around Kamala. Now, she scored a few points, but I think he ran away with it. And then you had Chris Wallace on there saying that it was a tie. And it just didn't appear to be that way at all. And when I saw that, I said, okay, adios. I wanted to say a couple of things about Trump.
Okay.
And one is he exposed what a rat-infested sewer Washington, D.C. is. Secondly, he exposed how corrupt the mainstream media is. And third, he could not be bought. And the country club Republicans couldn't stand that, and everybody else up there. So that's my two cents worth, and I just wanted to air it out.
Go ahead.
I would like to say one other thing. I really enjoyed Quentin and his interview and that stuff about Governor Ivey and Shelby not running. That's a big thought, right?
That is a big thought. That's going to be a big big political point for the state of Alabama. Both are not running.
Possibly not running.
Right. I mean, if they decide not to run.
Good call, Pete. Yeah, and that brings up tons of things to talk about with Pete's call there, because it seems like we can't. I know we're a news show and a news station, but we're a local news station, and that's kind of where we like our specialty to lie. I mean, we want to be able to talk about everything, but what I think is most important are local representatives and things that are going on at the local level. Now, the national news, overshadows everything, especially the divisiveness that we've seen over these last, 8, 12 years. I mean, it's been going on and on and on. People being pitted against each other. So that's the sexy headline, is what's happening nationally. But there's a lot that's going to happen here in Alabama that's worth talking about over these next few years. And the Jeff Poor Show is great at bringing in representatives from across the state and saying what's happening legislatively and happening in some of these local elections. But we could be looking at one of, if not the most, the youngest, not in age, but in term, for senators that we send from our state. I mean, Tommy Tuberville was just sworn in at the beginning of this month. If Richard Shelby decides to retire because of how the Senate is now held by the Democrats, if he uses this as his pivot ability, and he's 88 or will be 88, mm-hmm. like Quinn said, that's huge. And that's a major loss for Alabama, whether you like Shelby's politics or not, because he was bringing that pork back to Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Governor Ivey, I mean, that is also a highly sought after position at her age. What are her political aspirations? Is she ready to call it after this term, or will she go up for re-election again? There's tons of questions that need to be asked about some local races.
When I came here, too, I really, really focused in on Jeff's show. Learned a lot about the statewide politics, who the players are, what their aspirations are. That's why it is going to be pretty interesting. There'll be names you know, may not be well-known statewide, but names you know if you listen to Jeff Poor's show that are going to be throwing their name in the hat. One other thing, too. Tucker Carlson talked about this, what our last caller was just talking about, that the Republicans themselves, the country club Republicans, really aren't crazy about all the people that vote for them. And it's an amazing thought. It's an amazing idea. They more tolerate them than really care for them. And that's where Trump came in.
Yeah, yeah. And Trump, he ran his 2016 campaign. It wasn't just going after the Democrats. It was going after
the Republicans.
Drain the swamp, remember? And a lot of people feel the exact same way and feel that the president did a good job of, if not draining the swamp, at least showing who is part of the swamp.
We can see where the bottom is now.
Yeah, a little bit.
Dan is in Fairhope on FM Talk 106.5. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
So I don't get to listen as much as I used to, but you had Jerry Carl on the day of and the day after the Capitol ordeal, and he mentioned the guys in blue jeans talking to Pelosi, then retreating to her office. Then they came back out and the riot began. And I haven't heard anything else about that. And now Pelosi, of course, is leading the investigation and really should be the one being investigated. What happened to that conversation?
Yeah, the way I understood it, Dan, and I
thank you, Dan.
I was here in the studio for pretty much every interview that we've had with Jerry Carl. I've been in listening to it live here at the station. The way I remember Jerry kind of laying that out day of and day after, he said they were there doing their job. You know, they were arguing over the results of the Electoral College. He said he saw a couple people in blue jeans in a place, I think he said up in the where visitors would normally be, looking over Congress as they do stuff, because it's a pretty open place.
They didn't belong in there dressed like that.
That's right. He saw them in jeans. He said that was strange that somebody was wearing jeans in there in the first place. And also, Congressman Carl said, heck, if I'd known that we could have visitors, I would have brought my family in as well. He said later he saw those people going into Pelosi's office. I don't recall Congressman Carl saying that they were meeting with Pelosi or anything like that.
I didn't take it that way. Yeah. I took it that they were some of the...
They were outliers.
Yeah.
In a building full of people wearing suits.
Yes.
That they were wearing jeans, and then that was kind of the... Right before everything started.
Right.
That's kind of how Commissioner Carl laid it out.
To me, it was like things are starting. That's how they showed up. I didn't see them as being in cahoots with Pelosi and his story. Did you?
No, not the way Carl put it out there. All right, so pardons on the way, maybe for Lil Wayne and Tiger King? Is that who Trump will pardon? We'll talk about that when we get back.
Okay. Mullet of the year in the U.S. for sure. 846 FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig. The show is Mobile Mornings. It is Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on FM Talk 851. This is about as nice a January day as you could dream up, isn't
Seriously,
it?
Seriously, yeah. Very nice outside.
Sunny. We'll get well into the 60s today. And, man, we're ready for things to get back to normal around this beautiful city. Maybe we will kind of soon. We heard from it was a professor from Brown. He's got some expertise in the vaccine that he was talking about. Maybe we were overpromised to start things out a little bit, but as it turns out now, he was thinking April, May, or June for the vaccinations of everyday Americans, which, you know, closer to April is better. May or June, we'll take.
Yeah. So were we overpromised when Trump said that we would have a vaccine by the end of 2020?
We
and everyone said that was unhealthy and
we were not overpromised, but
it shouldn't happen.
But talking about the vaccines getting into the arms of people.
Yeah.
I put it on the states. What else can you say except, look, I don't have all the answers here. I'm not the expert. I'm not an epidemiologist. I don't understand the way to I'm not a distribution expert by any means, but there's a problem and it's got to be fixed, but I don't know any state that's getting it all right.
Also, is it possible that these pharmaceutical companies who stand to make, I can't even put a number on it, how much money they're going to make off of these vaccines? And it's great, you know, that's a great incentive to make make something to help save the nation. Mm-hmm. But is it possible that they may be overpromised when talking with the federal government about how many doses they would make available? And keep in mind, they're not just selling these doses to America. They're selling it across the entire world. So there's a huge supply chain that goes into that. And but everybody likes to point the finger. And I don't know. It's just I'm fine with that timeline. If average Americans are getting the...
You've had it.
I've had COVID. I haven't had the vaccine.
So you've had COVID. So you can rest for about 5 months.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Look at poor me.
I like that they are moving on with the giving the elderly the vaccine, because it seemed like certain groups were trying to kind of jump in line when it's obvious with the statistics that the elderly need this vaccine first before your 30 and 40 year old Americans that are in good health.
30 and 40 year old Americans who are turning it down.
Yeah, that too. Have you done anything illegal here recently, Dan?
Something? I have not.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering, because now, actually, yesterday probably would have been your last chance, at least here for a little bit, to get a pardon from the president.
Hey,
he's pardoning a lot of people here in his last days
today's
in office.
Today's going to be the pardon bowl?
The pardon bowl. And there's questions about whether the president will try to pardon himself, maybe some of his close acquaintances. You know, that's been discussed here over the last few months. Right now, it doesn't look like he'll try to pardon himself.
Some of the insurgents who are saying, please pardon me?
They have been asking for the pardons. They have, yeah.
Real estate agent from Dallas. She's come on, huh?
Yeah,
it's the obvious thing, Mr. President.
Did you see? So she was outside the Capitol, and she's like, we're going to storm this Capitol. You know, she was saying all those things, and then she's like, and buy a house for me in Texas, and is like giving out a realtor information.
Yeah.
It's a wonder the FBI caught her.
All fun and games, lady.
But a couple big names in entertainment. Lil Wayne, he's expected to get a presidential pardon. That's what his representatives are saying.
Gold-plated gun he had on him?
Yeah. So he had been arrested, and he was sent to Rikers Island, I don't know, about 10 years ago, something like that. I think... imagine this.
I knew there was a gap in between hits.
On his, you were wondering why he had to come out with something.
Yeah, exactly. I just thought he'd grown lazy.
I think his first arrest was, imagine this, on his tour bus, weapons and drugs. I think that's what put him in jail the first time.
And, what did they expect on a rapper's tour bus?
Great question. they found a dog and some PBR on Toby Keith's tour
I've
bus.
I've been on
too.
Toby's bus.
He's probably got drugs on there. Not Toby, but for Willie. He's storing them, right?
Okay.
So Lil Wayne looks like he's going to get a pardon, and also possibly Tiger King, Joe Exotic.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a picture this morning where they have a stretch limo pulled up at Joe Exotic's prison, wherever he's spending time.
It's waiting
for him on the possibility that he will get a presidential pardon. And his representatives there said that they're going to, if he is pardoned, get him into the limo without camera seeing him so that he can go get his hair done before he actually makes a media appearance.
Didn't it hit its peak during the early portion of COVID?
It seems like it was 10 years ago.
But people watching that show,
yeah,
kind of happened because they were quarantined and said, I got nothing to watch.
Nothing better to do.
And there came Joe Exotic.
Yeah, that was like the biggest Netflix hit there for a while. I still haven't seen it. Once everyone said you have to watch it, I was like, well, in that case, I will not watch it.
Let me say this to you. You don't have to watch it. Feel free not to watch it.
And we were talking with Quinn about since that January 6th riot at the Capitol, how Democrats have been, you know, saying that a lot of Republicans were in on it and leading people through the Capitol on a tour so they could kind of do a reconnaissance mission before.
A Democrat from New Jersey was saying that.
Yeah, and now they're saying the same thing about supporters of President Trump that happen to be in the National Guard. Well, Hillary Clinton is speaking out now, and I don't know if you've listened to this podcast. She was speaking with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on her podcast. How have I not heard about the Clinton-Pelosi podcast?
I'm not a subscriber.
It's called You and Me Both.
Wow.
And but Hillary, in this podcast, which, again, I haven't heard of until today, she hinted that Putin, the Russian president, may have been receiving updates about the chaos directly from President Trump, that Trump was talking to Putin while the Capitol was being breached. She said, it's clear Trump has a disdain for democracy, but its true depths may never be known. She said the president had other agendas. And she said, I'd love to see his phone records to see if he was talking to Putin the day the insurgents invaded our Capitol. So Hillary Clinton implying that not just that President Trump is in cahoots with Putin, but that they were communicating via phone as the breaching was happening.
My hand's up. May I speak?
Please.
Wasn't the day bad enough? Wasn't the day bad enough for all of us? And now you have to dream up. He might have been talking to Putin.
Yeah. Hey, Vladdy. I don't know if you know what's happening here, but like, how does that even...
He might have been talking to Cal Ripken. We don't, they're both unlikely.
We won't know until he releases his phone records
yes,
then.
We'll be all over it. FM Talk 106.5. We've got Jeff Core on the way.
Yeah, Dan Gaynor today. Also, he's talking with Chris Bedford from The Federalist, Paul DeMarco from Jefferson County, and Donnie Christensen, state senator. You don't want to miss it.
Dan and Dalton tomorrow on Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5.